Amen. Give God a praise clap this morning. Praise the Lord for that as we come to worship God together. And as we are thankful for Jared and Leslie lighting our first Advent candle of the season, and to remind us again about Advent, we light the Advent candles in preparation for Christmas time. But as we light each one with the symbol of the symbolism of something that Christ brought to us, we are also reminded that we wait for His second return too. Oftentimes at Christmas time, we forget that it's to remind us also not that He has just come one time, but that He will come again one day, and that He will bring a great work. We begin today a new series entitled, All I Want for Christmas. Now, I don't know what you want this year. Anybody want a Keurig this year? Anybody want a new car this year? New house? I don't know. New house? Some of y'all are praying for new houses this year. Others are things. Well, I don't know what you want this year for Christmas. I don't know all that you want for Christmas. But we're going to explore for the next 4 weeks about what you need for Christmas. Now, when I was growing up, there was two types of presents. There was the presents that I wanted, which was like video games and stuff like that. There was presents that I needed, like socks and underwear. Anybody else with me on that? And you always tried to act excited when you got the socks, but you never were you? And Mom and Dad would always say, well, that's what you needed. Well, the reality is, I hope and pray the next 4 weeks we give you something that you need, but it's not just socks, okay? I hope and pray that what we're going to give you from God's Word is beneficial to you and will encourage you. My prayer over the next 4 weeks is that we will have a time of encouragement. Anybody need encouragement for Christmas this year? And this is what this whole series is going to be about encouragement in Christ and getting ready for Christmas. Jared and Leslie, I've already read our scriptures this morning. So take your Bibles and open up to the book of Isaiah chapter 9. You know, we're going to read the Christmas story this year, but in a little bit of a different way. We're going to read about the coming of Christ in the prophecies of Scripture. You know, the Bible foretold that Jesus would come in the pages of Isaiah and Jeremiah and Daniel. And we're going to look at the prophecies of the coming Jesus, of Christmas, the Christmas prophecies of Jesus coming to earth. And this is going to be kind of different. We're going to study the book of Isaiah over the next 4 weeks and looking at Christmas from Isaiah's point of view. Because as we're getting ready for Christmas, Isaiah was on that side. He lived about 700 years before Jesus was born. So when he made these prophecies, guess what? He was getting ready for Christmas. He was waiting for Christmas. So as we study the prophecies, we are studying about getting ready for Christmas. Now, you have your text in front of you. Jared and Leslie have already did a wonderful job of reading that for us this morning. But the text tells us that the nation of Israel in the days of Isaiah was in a bad time. The northern kingdom was smashed and it was in sin. The southern kingdom of Judah, the nation was split down the middle. And Isaiah was the prophet in the southern kingdom. The nation was torn with war. There was fighting. There was impending doom was coming upon them. There was the threat that an invading country could come at any moment. And Isaiah basically says in his prophecy, he says, you know, it's dark right now. It's pretty gloomy right now. But we're waiting for the light to come. And when the light comes, he's going to lighten it up. And it's going to shine on the shores of Galilee. And it's going to be a pretty good place when it comes. And he's going to establish his kingdom. And he's going to come and he's going to do great things that we need. Now maybe Isaiah thought that that coming light or that that Messiah would come in his lifetime. But he didn't. He wouldn't come till 700 years later in Bethlehem. And as we continue to talk about the coming of Jesus, you're going to learn that Jesus wasn't quite what they thought he would look like, but yet he was everything plus more than what they thought he would be. And here is Isaiah in a dark time waiting for the coming of Christ. And nothing seemed to make sense. It was smashed. It was destroyed. There was sin in the country. People were sick. People were dying. It was a dark, dark time. And they honestly just needed a little bit of hope. They needed to know that everything was going to be okay. They needed to know that God wasn't going to just sit by and let this happen. That God was going to do something. So the coming of Christ for Isaiah's generation was a message of hope that they had to look forward to. Now, when you look forward to Christmas, what do you look forward to? Your tree, your lights, maybe the bird, you know, round two on the turkey, you know, so you get Thanksgiving and Christmas again. I don't know what you look forward to, but there's one thing that I look forward to every Christmas. And you know what they are? The Little Debbie Christmas trees. You know what I'm talking about? I love the Little Debbie Christmas trees. I love them. I don't know if they like lace it with something. I don't know what the deal is. But I walk past the aisle at Walmart and I say, oh man, it's Christmas time. Little Debbie has arrived. Forget about Santa. I want Little Debbie, okay? And when she comes and she brings her stuff, we know that Christmas is coming because the Lord has blessed us with creamy Christmas trees, you know? And it's good. And I thought today to myself, what better way to get us all ready for Christmas than to give everybody some Little Debbie this morning? Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that be great? If we just blessed everybody with Little Debbie this morning. I thought that would be so good. That would be so good. I thought it would just be amazing. So if we can, let's go ahead and get ready to give some Debbie this morning, if we can. So there we go. There we go. And if we can, you hold on to that, man. And let's see here. And everybody gets a little Debbie this morning, don't they? You know, and here you go, catch. There we go. We got plenty this morning for what you need. Catch, Matt Rowe. There you go. There you go, Tina. We even got some chocolate for you. And what's our Christmas without brown sugar in the house? Coleman, catch. There you go. So we got everything we need. We got the salt. We got the chocolate. We got the dough. We got the eggs. Where's Little Debbie? Now, Jacob, let's talk about that for a second. He said he was lied to. I said that I got some good stuff for you. No, you keep it. You keep it. Now here's the deal. Here's the deal. You got everything you need in your hands. Who's got something? Raise them if you got something. Just look around. All right. You got everything you need. Now, that was a little disappointing, wasn't it? I brought you to church. I promise you with Little Debbie, and I give you sugar, salt, eggs, chocolate chips. That ain't fair. Amen? Now, back in Isaiah's day, they got a promise. And the promise was this. The promise was that God was coming, and he would rescue them and do something great in their life. But all they had in their hands was broken pieces. It wasn't put together yet. It wasn't quite the Christmas cookie they thought it was going to be. Things were different. It wasn't together yet. So they had to look forward, and all they had to do was just hope and pray that God would do something great. Today, how many of you all are holding something in your life that's broken? Now, it may not be flour or eggs. Maybe it's your family, your career, a situation, and it's shattered in front of you, and you just need somebody to put them back together. You just need somebody who can place it all back together. You need some hope in your life. Well, the promise that I have for you today is this, is that the Lord brings hope. The Lord is the one who can bring hope to broken pieces. Even though right now we're holding on to something that's broken and not put together, the hope is that Christ can put it together. The hope is that one day he will put it together. I want us to look real quick at a couple of things. Every generation And every person will experience darkness. Can I get an amen on that one? No matter who you are, where you came from, or whatnot, every generation and every person will experience darkness. You will. You'll go through some hardship. You'll go through some challenges. You'll go through sickness. You'll go through marital problems. You'll go through money problems. You name it, you'll go through it. Every generation, Isaiah's generation up to ours, has experienced darkness. And here's the temptation. The temptation is to live in the darkness. Now, that's really important to understand, because we are so tempted in our flesh that when we go through a bad time, when we go through a sour time, a dark time, our temptation is to live there. Our temptation is to stay in that darkness. And we think there's no hope. There's no way out of that darkness. My life will always be this way. My marriage will always be this way. My family will always be this way. My spirituality will always be this way. My struggles will always be here. And the temptation is that you don't see past the darkness. If you back up to chapter 8 of Isaiah, he talks about, and you can just read it yourself if you got your Bibles open, but he says of these people that didn't turn to God when they were in darkness, he says, and this won't be on the screen, but just listen, they will wander through the land dejected and hungry. When they're famished, when they are famished, they will become enraged and looking upward and will curse their king and their God. They'll look towards the earth and see only distress, darkness, and gloom, affliction. They'll be driven into thick darkness. He says when people walk in darkness and they stay in darkness, it does something to them. It messes with them. Here's how you can do this. You wander aimlessly, you curse God, and you only see darkness. When you let the darkness come in around you and the dark things around you, you will become a creature, like we talked about last Sunday. You'll become a creature of the dark. And that's not good. And the hope and prayer is that, man, can something change? Can something take my broken pieces? I expected little Debbie, but I got a can of salt. I mean, can God do something to put it all together? Can the Lord take my broken pieces and stop me from wandering in the dark, bring me into the light, and do something wonderful with me? And I'm going to tell you that yes, He can. And that there is hope today, that you don't have to live struggling. You don't have to live wondering if God's given up on you, that He's coming and He's got something good for you. I want us to see four things about hope that we have in Jesus today. First, we have the hope of a child born. The hope of a child born. Look at the scripture, verse 6, the very first part. Isaiah tells us, for a child will be born for us. A son will be given to us. Look what he said. He said that the Messiah, when he comes, he'll come as a child. That he would come as a child. So we know right then that when Messiah came to earth, he would be flesh and bone. He would have blood in his body. He would have fingernails. He would have hair. He would have eyes. He would have toes. He'd have all that. That he would be man. But he also tells us that a son will be given to us. Now, this means his divinity. One of the titles of the Messiah was Son of Man in the book of Daniel. You can see that. So what Isaiah is telling us is that this child will be human, but he will also be divine. And he will be given to us. Does that sound familiar? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Sounds real familiar to me, that Jesus was given to us. So here we have the promise that Jesus would come. Now here's the great thing. When Isaiah was prophesying about this 700 years before Jesus, he didn't know anything about Bethlehem. Here we are on the other side of the cross and of the resurrection, and we think back to Bethlehem. Isaiah was waiting for the child to be born. You ready? Here we are in our point of history. The child has been born. The child has grew up. The child has died on the cross for us, and he has rose again from the dead. So we have a great promise today. As we look forward to Christmas, as we look forward to what God's doing, we know that we have a friend this year. We have a God that walks with us and talks with us and understands us. No matter what you're going through today, where you've been, who you've been with, whatever. The hope is of a child born that he's a real person. He's not a fairy tale. He's not a figment. He's real. He's in the body in heaven now. He's real. And he can interact with your life. I think when I'm going through depressing times, to know that God Himself has stood in my shoes. And He knows what the struggles and the temptations and the hardships of life are. Though nobody else understands, He does. This is a man that was rejected by his people, chased to the cross. This is a man that people ridiculed and rejected. And today the hope is that when we go through dark times, we have a Jesus that understands us and that walks with us. He's personal and He's real. But the second hope is this. There's also the hope of a coming ruler. I love what Isaiah says at the beginning of verse 6. He says, and the government will be on His shoulders. You go down into verse 7 and it says, the dominion will be vast and its prosperity will never end. He will reign on the throne of David and over His kingdom to establish and sustain it with justice and righteousness from now on and forevermore. Isaiah prophesied that the king, when he came, when the Messiah come, he would be a king and he would reign and the government would be on his shoulders. He would be responsible for the government and that he would be of the line of David. Now we know that when Jesus was born, He was born of the line of David. We know that. That Mary and Joseph was of that tribe, and that they came from the tribe of Judah, and that Jesus was set on the throne that David sat on. But now, in His day, though, when Jesus came, it wasn't quite what they thought it would look like. The Jews were expecting a military leader. They thought when the Messiah came, that He would usher out Rome, that He would get rid of the occupying forces, and that He would reestablish Israel right there. Now, I don't want to lose you today, but I want you to understand something. When Isaiah is prophesying from way back here, he sees kind of the big picture. He sees all of it together. He sees it in one coming, that when the king comes, that's when he'll establish his kingdom, that's when he'll rule the earth, etc. Now, here we are, kind of halfway into it. Christ has come. He's been born again. He's been born of a virgin. He has went to the cross. He's died. He's resurrected. But yet His kingdom isn't fully established yet. So was Isaiah lying when he said that the king, Jesus, would establish it all? No, he wasn't. He was seeing it all together. We are in the middle of that, if you're following me today, where we've seen half of it come true already, where Jesus has come. But we're still looking forward to when He's coming again. So the Advent for Isaiah, he only saw one Advent. It's kind of like looking at a big mountain with a little bitty mountain in front of it. Isaiah saw just one big mountain. But if you came over here to the side, you could see that there was a little mountain, a space, and a big mountain. We are in the middle of the first Advent and the second Advent. Everybody lost or everybody with me? Nod if you're with me today. So when Isaiah is prophesying, okay, we won't try to do seminary ever again, okay? So God bless you all right? But when Isaiah is prophesying, he sees it all together. Now, there's still a hope for us. There's still good news for us because we are waiting and getting ready for Jesus to come again when the government will finally be on His shoulders. If there was ever a time when we need Christ to return to earth to do what He needs to do, it's today. We have a divided Congress in Washington. We have rioting in Ferguson. We have ISIS in Iraq and Ebola in Africa. God help us. We need Jesus today. We need the coming king, a coming ruler. And the good news is that one day He will return. And as we get ready for Christmas, we also know that any day now the Lord can come back. And we look forward to when the government will be on His shoulders. He'll be an awesome ruler. Nothing will get past Him. And it will be heaven on earth when He comes back for His millennial reign. Won't that be awesome? That's the hope today. Here's the great thing. No matter how bad it gets on earth, if you know Jesus, this is as bad as it gets. Bad as it gets. If you don't know Jesus, this is as good as it gets. That ain't much fun. But the hope today that we have is that Jesus is coming again, a coming ruler. Third, there is the hope of one called. You ready? One called. Throw it up on the screen so you can see it. Of one called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. Isaiah says this in verse 6. He will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. Isaiah gives us four titles of the coming Jesus. Wonderful Counselor. He will be somebody that will guide us and lead us in the right direction. He will help us. He will encourage us. He will be there for us. He tells us that He's Mighty God. For those that think that Jesus was half God or that God went to a human being, that's not the case. He's 100% God, 100% man. Before the beginning of the earth, Jesus was here. Are y'all with me on that? He's always been here. Well, Kenny, I thought He came into existence at Bethlehem. No. He has always existed. He just became a baby at Bethlehem. And He grew up to become a man. He's Eternal Father. Now, again, I'm not trying to get too deep on you, but understand that Jesus is the Son, and don't confuse this with the Father God and Spirit God and Son God, okay? But understand that this is a term meaning that He will care for His people. He'll give them counsel. He is God. He'll walk with us. And like a father shepherding over His people, Jesus will care for us. And finally, He's the Prince of Peace. What's great about Jesus is that one day He'll finally bring peace to this whole mess called earth. But here's what's really cool. That when He died on the cross for our sins, He made peace between us and God. That's the best thing. He made peace between us and God the Father. We had sinned against God, rebelled against God, angered God. But when Jesus died on the cross, there's now peace with us and God. And that's what He does in our lives. He brings peace into our lives. I think about the coming Jesus, and the hope that we have today is that He's so good to us. Every one of those titles is something good. He's good in the fact that He counsels us. He's good in the fact that He's God. He's good in the fact that He watches over us. And He's good in the fact that He gives us peace. The hope today is that we have peace and hope in His control, and He's good to us. He's good to us. So no matter how dark it gets right now, we have a good Jesus that's there to help us. Finally, there's the hope of completion. Now don't miss this. The very last verse that we read, verse 7, it says, "The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this." The Lord of hosts is a title that's used for God occasionally in the Old Testament. Meaning that God would ride out like a victor, like a conquering king, like a warrior going out to battle. And when the Bible says that the Lord of hosts will accomplish that, it's like saying that God is riding out. He is determined. He is dead set on making this happen. And we know that did happen at Christmas. That at the first Advent, sure enough, God became a baby. And He grew up. And that He raised Jesus from the dead. And that Christ ascended into heaven. Now, if we believe that God has done the first part of this, should we believe He'll do the second part of this? Absolutely. Thus, we wait for Christmas, and we wait for the coming of Jesus too. We wait for the coming of Christ. Here's what we need to know. The coming of Jesus today is not based on what we do. It's not based on where we are. It's totally based on God. And the Lord will accomplish it. That's good news. Because though we struggle and we think, man, can my life get any worse? Can things go any way downhill? We have the hope. We have the hope that if we belong to Jesus, it'll put it together. Speaking of putting it together, some of you all have been left with some dejected pieces this morning. Amen? You know? Thought I forgot about you. See, that's what happens. When you are in despair, when you're holding broken pieces, you sometimes think that God's forgotten about you. You think that little Debbie has forgotten about you. Well, here's what I'm going to do today. I don't have enough little Debbie for everybody. Because the treasurers get mad at me if I did, okay? But I got some for the people that got broken pieces this morning. So here's what God does. Put it in there. You trade your broken pieces. You trade your junk. You trade it. and God gives you something good. That's what the Lord does. He gives you something good. Now, the difference between me and little Debbie is my wife packed this, and I only bought this box here. So I don't hope nobody, this might be a bad sermon illustration. I might run out of little Debbie, but we'll see what happens. And there we go. We're good. But here's what God does. God takes the broken pieces. He takes the broken pieces. And I got more up there. I'll get them for you all. He takes the broken pieces and he replaces it with something good. The hope that we have today is that we have a God, even though we're holding the broken pieces, we have a God that's getting ready to do something good with that. So in Jesus today, there is hope. For the person that doesn't know Christ, there's no hope. My prayer today is that if you don't know Jesus, that you would open your heart to Christ and discover hope in your life. That there's a reason to live. That God's got something good for you. Who has broken pieces? And you just need hope today. You just need hope. Would you bow your head and close your eyes as our musicians begin to come and Taryn begins to play softly? With heads bowed and eyes closed, ask yourself, are you a man or a woman of hope this morning? If Christ is in your life, you have a reason to hope. Maybe you've never given your heart to Jesus, and you would say, Kenny, today is the day that I give my life to Christ. Today's the day I put my hope in Jesus. I know I'm a sinner. I know I've rebelled against God. But today I call on Christ. Maybe today you're ready to repent of your sin and turn to Jesus for hope. Somebody might have told you that you're beyond hope. Somebody today may have said, there's no hope for you. There's no hope for you. But I'm telling you that there is hope for you in Jesus Christ. Would you pray this prayer if you're ready to receive Christ? Pray it now. Father, I am a sinner. Come into my life and save me. I repent of my sin. I believe you died and shed your blood for me. And you rose again. Come into my life and save me. With head still bowed, eyes still closed, maybe you're a believer today and you say, Kenny, I got some broken pieces today in my life. And I just need to not give up. I just need Jesus to walk with me and to help me, encourage me, and to believe that one day it'll all be put back together. I pray for you this morning. Don't give up. Just don't give up. Hope is on the way. By the way, hope has a name. It's Jesus. Lord, we love you. Move in spirit and truth today. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. You respond today as the Lord lays on your heart. Maybe you need to profess your salvation. Would you come today and do that? Maybe you need to come for a baptism, church membership, to pray. You do as God lays on your heart today as we sing about hope. My hope.